Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now we're going to read a few verses in Paul's letter to the Romans. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, we'll try to read as clearly as we can. And we're going to read first of all in chapter number 1. And we're going to read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you just look down to verse 17, we have what we're going to see as the first of a number of quotations from the Old Testament. So verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that is from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Now over to chapter 4, please, just for a verse. Oh, three verses to be precise. Verse 6, and now we have a quotation that is found from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 32. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And finally, please, in Romans chapter 10, and the final quotation is from the prophecy of Joel, and we're going to read in verse 12 and 13. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we know that the Lord will add his blessing to these readings. Now, we're probably going to deal with these scriptures in the reverse order to which we've read them, but more of that just in a moment. Now, the letter to the Romans is a letter that is all about the gospel. And in this letter, the Apostle Paul sets out what we might call the doctrine of the gospel. So if you want to understand what the gospel is and understand the message of the gospel, there probably is no better place to read, or no better book to read than the book of the Romans, the letter to the Romans. And so Paul describes this gospel, this message that we've come to preach to you and which you have come to hear. He describes this message in verse 1 as the gospel of God. And that's very important because what it conveys to us is that this message comes from God. So it's not a message that we have devised. And you can see that we're reading from the Bible. We're simply presenting what the Word of God has to say to you. But it is a message that comes from God to you. And that's tremendously important because it tells us that God is interested in us. God is concerned about us. God cares for us. He loves us. And he has a message for us that is here described as the gospel of God, the good news of God. So it finds its source, its origin in God himself. And what we're going to find in verse number 3, that the subject of this message is about a person. So Paul says, we're missing out verse 2 just for the moment, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the message that God has for humanity, the message he has for Dunfermline, the message he has for you is all focused in his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. No one else and nothing else. It is all focused in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the various names that are given to the Lord Jesus in these verses are very important. The fact that he is his son is a designation of the deity of Christ, that the Saviour we are called upon to trust is not a mere man. He did become a man, as we're going to see, but he is the very creator of all things. He is the very Son of God. But also he is Jesus. And we've just been through the season of the year where that name was given. When the Lord Jesus was born, he was called Jesus, and he was called Jesus for a reason, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord, the Saviour. And so he comes, the message of God, the message of the gospel for us is a message that has to do with the salvation of men and women and young people from their sins. And that is what Paul is going to stress. If you take the time, and I recommend it to you, to read through the opening chapters of the letter to the Romans, what you discover is that we have a profound problem, and it is the problem of our sins. And we learn in chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We discover that because of our links with Adam, because of Adam's disobedience, many were constituted sinners. And so we have this problem. But God has sent his son, the Lord Jesus, that he might deal with that problem. And he deals with it by his death and his resurrection. And we discover that if we need a saviour, as we do, we want a saviour who has got ability, that has power. And the Lord Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. And so the Lord Jesus, we commend to you this evening as one who is able to save us, someone that we can have confidence in, someone that we can trust in. And that's the point I want to kind of arrive at in our gospel meeting. Now, I've not spoken on verse number 2. And I want to focus our attention on what Paul says in verse 2. He says, which he had promised afore, that is in the past, by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, the scriptures that are being referred to there is the Old Testament part of the Bible. So you can read that, you have it in your hand, possibly, or you have a copy at home. And if you don't have a Bible, then we can supply you with one. And you can read what the prophets wrote. And what Paul is teaching here is that before this good news, if you like, came out when the Lord Jesus was here, he had already intimated it centuries before by his servants, the prophets. And really what Paul is saying is, look, God is true to his promise. Now, what we have sung in our opening hymn, only trust him. Only trust him. You might say to me this evening, why should I trust him? Can I trust God? Can I trust Christ? Will he be faithful to me? Will he let me down? No, he won't. In other words, what Paul is showing to us is the very fact that God intimated the message that would later come, centuries before the Lord Jesus came, is an indication to us that God is true to his promise. He said he would do something. He said he would send his son. He did send his son. He said he would be born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. He said he would go to the cross, and graphic detail is given to us in the Old Testament about the death of Christ at Calvary, and that's what's happened. In other words, these things are written so that we might become persuaded that we can have confidence in Christ. You can trust him. You can depend upon him. And he is able to save you. So this message comes from God. But God spoke about it in the Old Testament. He gave statements of gospel truth that we're going to think about in a moment or two, so that we can see that God is a God who is true to his promise. He cannot lie, and he can be depended on. Now, this message, as we've seen, concerns the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as we have said. Now, we've read three statements from the Old Testament, and I want to look at those statements possibly in reverse order. So we're going to start with the statement we read in Romans chapter 10, which comes from a very short prophecy in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Joel. And here is what we read. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's a message, there's a gospel message, way back in the prophecy, the small prophecy of Joel. That's what Paul is talking about in chapter 1, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let's think about this wonderful promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to notice that Joel understood, as he was given wisdom by God, he understood that this message is for everyone. Whosoever. That's one of the great words of our New Testament. The great words of John's gospel, whosoever, everyone. You know, that includes you, and it includes me. This doesn't require us to be in a particular nation or have a particular social standing or status, or even it doesn't matter in one sense how we have lived up to this point. This message of salvation is for everyone because everyone needs it. We're all sinners in the sight of God. We need to repent. We need to change our mind about our sin. We need to recognize that we are sinners before God, and we need to turn from that. But here is a message that is for everyone, but in the same sense, it's for me. And a message that's from God himself. A message from God just for me. Well, you say, what is this message? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you see, that's a bit complicated. I don't really quite understand what that is really saying to me. Well, what it's basically saying is you have to ask God to save you. That's it. You need to ask God to save you from your sins. Now, there's an illustration I want to give you, which you'll find in the gospel. You'll find it in Matthew's gospel, I think chapter 14. And it involves Peter. And the situation is the disciples are in a boat and it's stormy, and the Lord Jesus comes to them walking on the water, a remarkable miracle. And Peter sees the Lord Jesus with the other disciples, and he asks to walk to the Lord Jesus on the water, and he gets out of the boat and he does just that. He walks on the water towards the Lord Jesus. And then he starts to notice the wind and he begins to doubt. And he begins to sink. And in that moment, he calls out to the Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And what he discovered was the Lord Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And Peter was saved from drowning. But that little story, that incident, that historical incident that's recorded in the Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, it illustrates what is behind this prophecy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is the context? What is being taught to us? That we need to come to a point when we realize we're perishing and we are in ruin and we're heading to ruin. And our eternal future is in jeopardy. Hell is real. Hell is real. And the lake of fire is equally real. And we don't want to be there. And there comes a point in our experience when we need to realize that if I continue as I am, that's where I'm going. That broad road, as the Bible, the Lord spoke, that leads to destruction. And I need to change direction. And who can do this? The Lord can do it. And I call out, not vocally, you can do it in your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, what Joel the prophet is teaching us is that if you call upon Christ to save you, he will know it, because he knows your heart, and he will answer it. He will save you. You say, but you don't know the kind of person I am. Ah, but he does. You don't know how I've lived. No, I don't, and I don't need to, but he does. You don't know how grievous my sins are. No, I don't, but he does. And I want to tell you, there is enough in the death of Christ for you to receive forgiveness, for you to have your sins blotted out, for you to be made right for heaven, for you, in the language of our text, to be saved. And I want you to notice the certainty of this: shall be saved. You know, God does not want us to have doubts about this important matter. You know, there can be nothing more important as to where we will be 1 millisecond after we die. Where will you be? Well, there's only two destinations: with Christ in heaven or in hell. God wants us to be sure about this. This is not something that we can afford to be uncertain about. And way back before, in the Old Testament times, through the prophecy of Joel, God implants this lovely little statement of gospel truth. He makes a promise: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't get any more emphatic than that. But you say, why would I call on the Lord? Because I believe that he can save me. This is a call of faith. You know, when Peter was drowning, he didn't call to his fellow disciples who were in the boat. They couldn't help. He called upon the only person he knew could save him. He called upon the Lord. And this is a call of faith. This is a call of dependence. And that's what the Bible is referring to when we believe. We put our confidence in Christ. We depend on him. We realize that he alone is able to save us. And through his death and resurrection, he has made provision so that we can be saved. And here the invitation comes out: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now back to chapter 4. And now we go from Joel's prophecy, we go backwards in time, and we come to David the psalmist. And David is inspired to write these words out of his own experience. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. David came to learn this truth of these words. So the problem now, we again come back to this question of our sins. Now, various words are used here. Iniquities. The idea in that word is lawlessness. In other words, those who are lawless are not those who break the law of Britain so much, but those who break the law of God. Well, you wouldn't get past the first commandment, would you? Loving God with all your heart and soul and mind, 24/7, 365 days of the year, for the whole course of your life. None of us have done that. And we certainly haven't loved our neighbour as ourselves either. And it's probably, we can all multiply those. we have broken the law of God, and we come under the category of iniquities. But then there are sins, there are things where we've just fallen short. We've fallen short. But David learned that lawlessness, iniquities can be forgiven. And sins can be covered. In fact, we know from the New Testament that they can be completely removed. And David said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That means that David, for example, will be able to stand before God, and God will not say to him, "You're condemned as a sinner." If you were to stand before God now, in your sins, Paul makes it very clear in this book in chapter 3 that you'll stand condemned. And that's true of every single one of us. We're not being high-minded. We are all in the same position. The question that is at stake is, have our sins been forgiven? Have our iniquities been covered? Do we know what it is to have called upon the name of the Lord? And David said, "Look, I know I'm forgiven. I know that the Lord will not impute my sin to me. I know that my sins are covered, and there is a blessedness in that." Just to think, for all those unsavory things in our past and present, that we would be ashamed if others knew about it, God says, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God blots them out. You know, I don't know if you're sort of into computers and things like that, but what we understand is that once something has been imprinted on the hard drive of a computer, it's very hard to get rid of it, to get rid of some trace of it. But what men can't do, God can. God can destroy. He can blot out your sins and iniquities. And he is just in doing so, because those sins and iniquities were dealt with in the death of Christ, in the death of his son. And David said, there is a blessedness. There is a joy, there is a happiness in knowing that your sins are forgiven, and your iniquities are covered, and that God will not impute sin to you. What a wonderful place to be. Who is David speaking about? He's speaking about those who've called upon the name of the Lord. Now, our final little verse that we read, a little short statement from the prophecy of Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. You see, all this comes about to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This offer of salvation, this forgiveness, is not on the basis of my merit, because I don't have any. It's not on the basis of what I do, my works. It's on the basis of faith in Christ, believing in him. And God justifies us. God declares us to be just, to be right. And there in the Old Testament, there's a little promise that God inserts into that Old Testament book, looking forward to what is true even now. The just shall live by faith. Trusting Christ. Trusting a Christ who cannot lie. Trusting a Christ who is risen from the dead. Trusting a Christ who is alive at God's right hand. Trusting a Christ who, as it were, with open arms says to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So my little message this afternoon is just around this point. Only trust him. Only trust him. You can put the emphasis in different ways. Don't trust yourself. You can't save yourself. Don't trust in other men, because they're unable to save you too. Only trust Christ. He will save you. He will save you now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.